dear friend Mr. Morris this morning left me in rather a predicament, for he took the same text that was laid upon my mind. And I've been very tempted to turn from it. But as it still abides, I feel that I must venture to speak from it again. Maybe the Lord has a purpose in it. Isaiah chapter 33 and the 20th verse. Look upon Zion, the city of her solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 20. The services today are to acknowledge the goodness of God through this cause for 100 years, not to celebrate the building which is 100 years old, although it's no small mercy to be provided in such a building, and the remarkable way in which the Lord provided it. And although the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands, yet there are some buildings which he has honored and gathered his people together and blessed them. But in reading the chapter in the Chronicles, I felt that in ascribing praise and honor to the Lord for all his goodness, you could join with David. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. And there was one thing that David emphasized. He said, the house, the palace is not for man, but for God. Very significant that, and it would be well if we realized that in our several places of worship. I have thought of that, and also the responsibility that Moses felt when he was to lead the people through the wilderness to the promised land. It seemed presumptuous, but he said unto the Lord, consider that this nation is thy people. And that's where the weight of the responsibility that rested upon Moses. It wasn't the general public. It was God's people whom he had formed for himself, the children of the heavenly King, in whom was his kingdom. Great responsibility to lead such a people ministerially through the wilderness to heaven. Now, if we feel the weight of those two things, it will make us very jealous of God's glory in the affairs of the church. Namely, that the palace is not for man, but for God. And consider that this nation is thy people. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. And taking a glance back, as we read that interesting account that you have handed to you presently, I thought of that encouraging word of Paul to the Hebrews. Seeing therefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And in looking back, there is a great cloud of witnesses that have gone through this cause. The witnesses incorporate all the prophets, all those that have gone before in the scriptures. It includes also many who we have known and loved, who are now among the spirits of just men made perfect. And there are also living witnesses today. As the Lord said of his people, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." So as we look back upon the witnesses that have passed through this course, may we consider whether we are carrying on the witness in our lives. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Zion then represents the Church of God. The Church of God is composed of the whole election of grace, the chosen of God ere time began. And it has a foundation, and the foundation stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Every individual he knows them personally. And they're all predestinated to be called by sovereign grace, predestinated to be conformed to the sacred image of God's dear Son. Zion, a most sacred place. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, or the city of our sacred things. And it would seem that the prophet here is emphasizing the infinite and eternal difference between the things of this world and Zion and its solemnity. Oh, for faith, and to look by faith upon the solemnities of Zion. And the great solemnity or sacred thing in Zion is that it is the dwelling place of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. So that the church is impregnable. The church occupies a unique position in the world. And it is a mercy to come under Zion, according to the second chapter of this prophecy. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. that's above all principalities and powers and earthly kingdoms. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up, let us go up. A mercy, if we have entered into the sanctuary under that spirit today, let us go up. We need the wings of faith. We need the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our minds, to deliver us from the influences of a carnal mind, a body of sin and death, and a world that lies in wickedness. And let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord our God. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, so that really Zion and its solemnities is the whole Church of God, and the provision that God has made in that Church, it takes in the whole of the work of the Holy Ghost in individual hearts, in leading people about, bringing them under a sense of their sinnership, conviction of sin, giving them to feel their need of salvation, and then for a life of faith to begin by seeking. They shall ask their way to Zion with their faces visible, saying, come, let us join ourselves unto the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. O blessed people that are thus influenced and drawn and led by the Holy Spirit, by faith realizing that there is that in Zion, in the Church of God, which can never be found anywhere else. Perhaps some of you remember the time when you first began to be in want, when there was first an aching void made in your heart that the world could never fill, when you began to hunger and thirst after righteousness, when you could say, there is nothing here can satisfy, nor gold, nor house, nor land. When you could say from your very heart, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Don't mind what else I don't find, but oh, that I knew where I might find him. And that's how the Lord gathers his people together, gathers them under the influence of the Spirit, by making this world a complete wilderness to them. Has this world been made a wilderness to us? Do we see it in the true light as God sees it? Is it a place of death, destruction, despair, stamped with vanity and vexation of spirit? Do we feel that there's nothing here that can satisfy? I remember many years ago, there was three words that seemed to spontaneously arise in my heart. Simple words. I want God. Look where you will. Possess what you may. There's an aching void which only God himself can fill. And he's in Zion. And oh, with joy they hasten to the place where their Saviour oft of men. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. And these solemnities of Zion constitute also the work of salvation in sinners' hearts through the ministry of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is the main office in the church. It's a very solemn office. And we should magnify our office, not magnify ourselves. We couldn't if we know ourselves. But the Lord has joined together the preaching of the gospel and the salvation of men, that through the foolishness of preaching, that to save those that believe. And he gathers his people. And so, you know, we read in that 50th Psalm, or it starts with the majesty of Jehovah. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. The perfection of beauty is alone in Zion. And that perfection of beauty is the Lord Jesus. He dwells there. The temple was a type both of the church and of the Lord Jesus Christ in his human nature. And it's very blessed that it could be a type of both, because the union is so intimate, so close, as is the head to the body. And this is set out to us at the conclusion of the first chapter to the Ephesians, concerning the Lord Jesus, that he was raised up far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that the church is the fullness of Christ. That is to say, that the fullness that it pleased the Father should dwell in Christ bodily is a fullness that is emptied into the church. It is of the same dimensions as the needs of the whole church. All the life and power and life and grace and holiness and righteousness that the church should ever need is in Christ Jesus. It's a very important word, the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now that makes up the solemnities of Zion. All the eternal purposes and counsels of Jehovah in the covenant of grace are accomplished in Zion, in sinners' hearts. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Well, it's a wonderful sight. Zion is from above. We have a description of it for the Hebrews. Paul says, ye are come unto Mount Zion, a mountain for its stability, its impregnable position, a mountain for its height, its higher than the earth, for the city of the living God. The living God dwells in Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. All his people are born from above. The doctrines are heavenly doctrines. And everything that we're occupied with in Zion has to do with heaven. It is a kingdom which is not of this world. And another thing is this. In the solemnities of Zion, they're all eternal. The church is built upon the everlasting rock of ages. And everything that we are occupied with in our most holy religion, in Zion, is eternal, imperishable, can never fade. It concerns eternity and our blessed solemnity. This can be said of nothing else. And sometimes you'll feel it. When the Holy Ghost is present, you'll feel a vital atmosphere, a solemnizing, humbling atmosphere of the Lord's presence. A mighty work is wrought in the hearts of His people through the means of His appointed means of grace. A work which is greater than all the works of creation. Oh, to come to it. Paul says, ye are come to it. Ultimately, that will be heaven. But His people come to it here. And there are some times when the Lord rends the heavens and comes down, when you are so transformed by the renewing of your mind that you are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Your soul is like unto the chariot of Aminadab, translated from things that are perishing into the very land of the living. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, sacred solemnities, to be found nowhere else. And it all comes down. Nothing comes up from this world. It's all from Him. And it comes down because the Lord Jesus, in love to His church, came down. He brought everything with Him. The Father gave everything in Him. He that spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? All things are given in Him. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. I wish I could speak of them. You can feel them. There are some times when you wish you'd never to go out of the chapel, never to join the world again. There's a vital reality, my friends, in a real religion. And the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Eventually, this will be in that rest that we made for the people of God. But it's known here, thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. And what is this quietness? Well, we heard read this morning in that psalm, the Lord Jesus said, This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And His people rest where He rests. Everything in the gospel has rest in it, because it is a perfect law of liberty. Wherever the gospel comes, whenever the precious sin atoning blood of Christ reaches the conscience, it brings peace, and rest. And not only so, that rest and peace in Zion is this, that all the streams from the river of God terminate in the church. It's reached its terminus. As for instance, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus shed upon Calvary's stream. With respect to individuals, when that precious blood by the Spirit has reached the conscience of a poor sinner, it's reached its terminus, and there will be rest and peace and holy quietness. And this quietness too is by a fulfilled and honored law. Oh, the loud thunder of the law in a sinner convinced of his sin. But says Paul to the Hebrews, ye are not come to Mount Sinai, ye are come unto Mount Zion, to the blood of sprinkling. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Quiet habitation. A finished work. A fulfilled, a satisfied law. the law of God, whose glory is condemnation. The law cannot give life. It cannot show mercy. But what the law could not do, God, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, did do. But now the law can smile upon a sinner. Oh, the Lord Jesus said, I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Oh, haven't you sometimes felt it in your very experience? Why, a destroyed law would be no salvation. Perish the thought. You would not have the law destroyed. But oh, to see the law fulfilled on your behalf by a blessed substitute. The substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus brings that rest and peace and quietness to his people. And upon that ground, we have this word in the preceding chapter. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Some of you have known those places. Peaceable habitation. Peace of God. He left that legacy with his people. And when he departed, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Oh, to see an overcome world by the mighty conqueror, and to behold it in Zion, its wonderful works. When he is set forth by the Holy Spirit, as he was to the Galatians, evidently crucified among you. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, the quiet habitation. It's the same eyes as spoken of in the 17th verse. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. And there are some eyes that see thee. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. We might well consider, as we read the Word of God, whether we have any evidence of possessing this grace and these graces of the Spirit. Oh, how precious it makes the Lord Jesus. How precious it makes Zion. And it is precious when you deny it. I remember many years ago driving from Southampton to Wallace, and as I came toward this warmer part where the sanctuaries are, it began to sing in my heart, I love her gates, I love the road. The church adorned with grace stands like a temple built for God to show his martyr face. Look upon Zion. Look upon all the things of God. Look upon the whole of the work of salvation, the whole of the blessed gospel. Look upon it. Look upon him coming. The sacredness of his virgin birth. Oh, that's one of the solemnities of Zion, denied of men today. But if his birth was not a virgin birth, then he would be a sinner. Oh, the importance, the beauty, the glory there is in the immaculate birth of the Son of God. He never contracted the least taint of Adam's sin. A sacred, holy humanity is one. A thought comes into my mind, and I feel, hesitate to express it. But you know, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. My dear friend, he couldn't sweat anything else. The Lord Jesus couldn't possibly perspire. His sacred humanity was so pure, perspirations and impurity, he could only sweat great drops of blood. Oh, who can imagine the sacredness, the mystery of the sinless humanity of God's dear Son. And in that, he is a substitute for his people. The life that he lived in that humanity was substitutionary. And his dear people that die in him will die in that life, that sinless life. Blessed then are the dead which die in the Lord. These are some of the solemnities of Zion. And the blessed solemnities of the work of the Holy Ghost begun and carried on and completed in his people between the cradle and the grave. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Of course, there are visible churches and forges and buildings that are taken down, but many of them are closed. But this is spoken of as the invisible church of God. It's eternal. It's eternal because of union with Him who is eternal. Yet another blessed solemnity. The whole of salvation and the gospel is what it is, because Christ is who and what He is. Grace is invincible grace because Christ is invincible. Salvation is an eternal salvation because He is eternal. Now if these things, my friends, are brought into our hearts, not into our heads, into our hearts as a work and experience, the sacredness of it. A child of God's a wonder. Some people in this congregation doubtless are walking about with the kingdom of God in their hearts. Predestinated unto eternal life. Formed, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. There's nothing else worth looking at. Oh, what a poor, noisy, crazy world this is. When you get a little glimpse and breathe a heavenly atmosphere. Now when the Church of God, the assemblies of His saints, are made to you the house of God and the gate of heaven, bring you very near to heaven. It is an earnest of heaven. The most that you'll ever enjoy here of heaven, and it partakes of heaven. Won't be different there, only here we have this treasure in a poor earthen vessel. But there we shall be among the spirits of just men made perfect and serve Him day and night in His temple. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, tabernacle that will never be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Now these stakes are His people, the ministers of the gospel, and His people. Not one of them will ever be removed. It's a simple and yet a very true line we sing. Whom once He loves, He never leaves, but loves them to the end. And He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There's not a single one of His people that can ever be removed from Him. They fear they will. And the devil attempts it. Satan daily strives to quench the sacred flame, but he never will. A child of God is as invincible as Christ Himself, because the government is upon His shoulder. The responsibility of the safe arrival in heaven of every one of His people is upon Christ. He's accountable for their safe passage through the wilderness and entrance into the city of habitation. And He said, this is the will of Him that sent me, that all those whom Thou hast given me, I have lost nothing. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. how often we fear we shall. I fear many, many times, lest in some hour of sore temptation I might fall, and yielding to the tempter's power, faithless may prove and give up all. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Now the cords are attached to the stakes that holds up the tent. And these cords are the divine perfections of Jehovah. They are the cords of his everlasting, immutable love. They are the cords of his divine omnipotence, the cords of his immutability. Oh, the cord of the strength that is, the poor changing sinners in a world, change and decay, all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. And there is the cord of divine faithfulness. And Jeremiah attributed his sustaining mercy. He said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Not one of the cords thereof shall be broken. Look at the security of his people. Not a stake shall be removed. Not a cord shall be broken. Oh, those of you that fear. Fear. Look at this world. May the Lord give you to look at Zion, to see the King, the Lord of hosts. And I have thought a sight of Zion and her solemnities is very beautiful in the second Psalm. There's a kind of a word of irony in that Psalm. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? What's the matter with them? These grasshoppers, for the inhabitants of the world are as grasshoppers to him. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Exactly what they're doing today. What we're doing in the nation. Casting the cords. Casting the word of God behind them. But he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Yet have I set my King upon my holy Hill of Zion. And when you're there with him, when the Lord gathers you up to Mount Zion, blesses your soul, then you can look down from that height, look at the world and say, why do the heathen rage? Oh, you look upon Zion, its security, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces. His people got everything to rejoice in, my friends, and heaven at last, heaven at last. But we must leave it. Oh, may the Lord help us to live nearer to him. Give us such a sight of Zion and its solemnities that will wean us from the world. And give us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The collection today for the poor. Hymn number 118, tune Hymn 141. Hymn 118. Thou dear Redeemer, dying Lamb, we love to hear of Thee. No music's like Thy drowning name, nor harp so sweet can be.